I'm Ebong Udama, and I cover Connecticut political news for WSHU Public Radio. Staying well-informed is essential to a well-functioning democracy. Understanding facts and filtering out noise takes work, and our mission at WSHU is to help you do that through coverage from our newsroom, NPR News, and the BBC. We're expanding our world together. Thank you for your support.
This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Senator Murphy says he wants the government to return focus to domestic issues. On the agenda in New York this year, a crackdown on illegal guns. Avelo Airlines says it will end deportation flights this month, plus meet the local librarians, creating spaces where community comes together. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. U.S. Senator Chris Murphy from Connecticut wants the United States to stay out of Venezuela. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports Murphy says there are enough domestic issues that lawmakers should be focused on.
The comments come as Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro faces drug and weapons charges in the U.S. President Donald Trump has defended military action in Venezuela, saying the country is responsible for funneling drugs and migrants into the U.S. Murphy dismissed that explanation and accused Trump of intervening to get to the country's oil.
Venezuela isn't terribly relevant for the people I represent who are worried about an economy that seems to be stagnant, healthcare premiums that are doubling, tripling for many people in my state, prices that are going up on all the stuff that you need to afford to live. And all of a sudden, the president is talking only about Venezuela.
The White House responded to Murphy's claims, calling him a, quote, buffoon. It's not clear how long Trump plans to, quote, run Venezuela. In a New York Times interview on Wednesday, the president said oversight could last much longer than a year. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul says her 2026 agenda will include new legislation to crack down on illegal 3D printed guns. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
In a preview of her State of the State address next week, Hochul unveiled a suite of proposals Wednesday that would track and stop the digitally produced firearms. She wants to create a state police database for confiscated 3D printed guns, and she wants to make it illegal to sell or possess instructions on how to make a gun without a license.
These are homemade killing machines, 3D printed guns, and assembled with parts that you can just go buy online.
She says some criminals who can't get a gun legally have turned to do-it-yourself printer projects. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Avelo Airlines has announced it will end deportation flights for the Federal Department of Homeland Security later this month. WSHU's Shelley Hassman-Kadish has more.
Avelo officials say the airline's participation in the DHS program provided short-term benefits but proved to be too complex and costly to continue. The budget airline, which has a base in New Haven, began deportation flights out of Arizona last May. The decision prompted calls for a boycott and led to protests at the airport. Avelo says it is closing three bases, including the one in Arizona where the deportation flights were taking off from. Officials say their long-term strategy is to focus on the existing bases, including planned expansion for the New Haven base. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
Libraries aren't just quiet rooms with spines on shelves. They're living places where curiosity meets community. A conversation on that is ahead.
Hi, I'm music host Lauren Rico, and I'd love for you to travel with me to Iceland. This October, we'll explore black sand beaches, powerful waterfalls, and quiet, wide-open landscapes that feel a world away. We'll soak in the Blue Lagoon, wander Reykjavik, and on clear nights, watch for the northern lights dancing overhead. We'll be there October 2nd through 8th. You can find all the details at WSHU.org.
A 1.9 magnitude earthquake was recorded around 5:30 p.m. yesterday in the East Haddam hamlet of Mudus, Connecticut. The United States Geological Survey says the epicenter of the minor quake was at the intersection of Route 151 and Colchester Turnpike. Over 1,000 Long Island nurses plan to walk off the job Monday unless they get a contract that improves nurse-to-patient ratios. Union representatives say Northwell hasn't been back to the negotiating table since the vote to strike last month, but a Northwell Health spokesperson says that's, quote, blatantly false. Suffolk County Police say they've arrested four alleged street racers and impounded their cars. They've been charged with illegal racing, reckless driving, and fleeing police. The group includes a 17-year-old. The department's Street Takeover Task Force has made 65 arrests since its formation in late 2024. An investigation into New Haven's police chief will be led by the state's attorney. WSHU's Janice Roman reports this comes after reports of theft and misuse of funds.
New Haven Mayor Justin Elliker said the investigation into former police chief Carl Jacobson is ongoing. Elliker says Jacobson admitted to stealing money from a confidential informant program. He says the department no longer has access to records since Jacobson's office has been sealed during the outside investigation. Elliker says the department will revisit the policy for the management of funds.
We're going to get an outside party to review the policies and procedures to make sure that we improve them in a way that ensures that this never happens again.
Assistant Chief David Sinelli has been appointed acting chief. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
Libraries are community hubs where you can do research, yes, but also get access to technology, attend an author event, join a craft group, or take a workshop. And librarians create a welcoming space where it all happens. Erin Dummeyer is the library director at the Mark Twain Library in Reading, Connecticut, and Scott Brillis is director of the Milford Public Library, as well as VP of the New England Library Association. They spoke with WSHU's Randy Kay for the series Good at Heart.
You help people in your job by doing what?
So I once had this mentor of mine. And I did an internship at the New York Public Library years ago. And I remember her telling me that in libraries, you seek to touch lives. So what I mean by that is you're touching a life, however briefly they may not remember their interaction with you, mm-hmm. but you will create some kind of ripple effect in their life. And I'll give you one real world example. When I was working one day, a man came in and he asked me to help him fill out an affordable housing application. And I knew him because his sons were always in the library. English wasn't his first language, so I simply helped him fill out this application. You know, he did the rest. 8 years later, I ran into him at the car wash and he remembered me. And he had gotten into this town and this school district that he had wanted to get into with his kids. And he told me how great his kids were doing. And he showed me pictures. They were like over 6 feet tall. You know, I didn't change this man's life, but I touched it in a very subtle way and sort of perhaps helped cause some good things to happen for him. And I always think about that in my library work and my career is you might go in and just think you had a totally regular day. But you might have made someone smile who was having a really off day, or you might have helped someone solve a problem and you'll never know it. You might have even helped someone like find a job, which affected their life. I mean, that's something that I know a lot of people are struggling with right now. So I think in libraries, we often have the opportunity to touch lives. And that's what I try to do. I think that's what my staff try to do, is just have some kind of effect on people, however small.
I love that. Scott?
I think that's true. You know, it's funny. I know one of the questions sometimes you ask is about a quote. And one of my favorite quotes is by Robert F. Kennedy, Sr.
Senior.
who, in a great speech, talked about the ripple of hope, that we often don't know when we drop that pebble. The ripples of hope go far beyond that we can even ever see and know. And Erin's right. I mean, I've experienced it many times. When I did story time in the children's library, you know, I was Mr. Scott, and it was very lively. It was very fun. You can imagine me doing story time.
I can definitely imagine
singing
that,
silly
yeah.
songs, and the kids loved it. And I loved doing it. And I sat in, like, a big rocking chair, and all sorts of kids had all sorts of reactions. But one little boy was fascinated. He would be right at my knee, and he was there all the time. But he never sang, and he never really engaged, but he was watching me and everything. He was little. And he came with his father every week. I never heard the boy ever talk. You know, the father came in and said, I have to tell you, he talked in the car today, and he hasn't really talked in a long time. His mom had passed away, and he had this trauma. He wouldn't talk. He was not able to verbalize. But he saw Mr. Scott being silly and funny, and it was okay for a boy to be silly and funny and talk and laugh. And he started singing one of the songs in the car. You do not understand the ripple that you're creating by just being Mr. Silly Scott. Mm-hmm. I think what's even more magical about it is I didn't know I was doing that. The answer is really we help everyone.
Who helps you? How do people help their local libraries?
So Mark Twain Library is partially funded by the town. We have to privately fundraise about 40% of our operating budget each year. So a great way to think about helping a library like mine is by donating. But I know that not everyone is always in a position to donate money, so they can also donate time. We have a few fantastic volunteer-run fundraisers that take place all year. But you can also just get a library card. Getting a library card helps your library because it helps us speak to our statistics and say these are the amount of people in our community
really?
That use us and love us. And
absolutely.
It's an important statistic we use when we are actually going to our towns, our mayors, our board of finance, and making the case for funding the library. Is we say your taxpayers are getting so much out of the library because this is how many cardholders we have. This is how many books they check out. This is how many ebooks they download. It really helps us make the case for why we should be funded.
Wow. That's right. We, as Aaron knows, we all as directors have to fill out the state report every year. One of the statistics, obviously, how many library card users do you have? And it's a very important thing that you can have that number and show, hey, for this town, we have this percentage of people using the library. Unlike Mark Twain Library, mine's a municipal library. So my funding is from the taxpayers. It is a city library. Mm-hmm. We do have an endowment, but the main budget does come from the municipal funds. And so I have to advocate in a different way than, say, Erin might have to do. I don't necessarily have to fundraise in the way that she does, but I do have to advocate for the usage of the library and for the purpose of the library. I believe in community efforts. So you have community partners who can also say, hey, you know what? We also recognize the library as an ally in our work. So you really want to create those stakeholders in town who really also are going to advocate for the library so that you're not just siloed alone.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen to us on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or take us with you on the go with the free WSHU app. And for even more from this station, join us over on Instagram. We would love to connect with you there. You can find us at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk tomorrow.